We're doing the Sefer HaMidot. We'll dedicate our learning to Sara Chaya Bat Dania Kohen. The Magid Midubna had said that a person can take note of three important points in his life if he realizes that he can take zero credit for his coming to existence. He has no real understanding of his existence even as he's alive. Go understand how your own heart works, how anything about yourself really works. And thirdly, if a person thinks about his future and realizes that he doesn't have any control of what's in store for him, no one can guarantee he will be alive in a second, in a moment. A person thinks about these true points, then he realizes, wait a second, so if I'm not in control, who is in control? God's in control. He says these are key points. Mashal lishnayim shalchu b'midbar. What's this similar to? It's like two people who are walking in the desert. Eretz lo avar ba'ish. It's a desolate desert that's never been crossed by anyone. Lo yashav sham adam me'olam. No one's ever lived there. V'ne'efad chefetz miyad echad. And one of them loses something. V'asheni matza oto. So this guy is crossing the desert and he loses his flashlight. So he has this great flashlight, you know, mint condition, signed by King David. And then his friend finds it. V'asheni matza oto. His friend finds it. V'chasher ze ba levakesh mimenu v'lidrosh mito achefetz asher avat. So then Reuven comes to Shimon and Reuven says, that's my flashlight, Shimon. You want to give it back to me? Anava amalo. So then Shimon says back to Reuven, gee, Reuven, you sure it's yours? You know, ten yot v'siman ki ushecha, prove it. Give me a sign. So Reuven says, come on. Shiva amalo, alo gam belo siman. He says, without a sign. Alo nafshecha yodat meot ki sheliu. You know it's mine. Come on, where'd you get it from? Amalo ve'ech. So Shimon says, how do I know it's yours? Amalo alo ata yedata sheino shecha. So Reuven says, well, you know, it's not yours. Va'idea zot atzma ta'id ki u'sheli. So if it's not yours, it's got to be mine. You know, you found it right here in our campsite, so whose is it? Achar sheshnayim anachnu v'lozav v'tuchenu. We both know we're the only ones here. So if it ain't yours, it's mine, right? So why do you want me to prove it's mine, give you a sign it's mine? What are you talking about? So that's the example he gives. He says this is the way it works with these two paths. Things that have to be and things that can be, that are possibilities. ואפשרי הוא מרצון ממציא שקדמו והסכים על מציאותו בזמן הזה ולא בזמן אחר, etc. He says, some things have to be. So, say it has to be, you know, let's say, we'll see if I'll give examples. I don't want to give examples yet. He says, some things don't have to be. There's nothing that, if you look at it and you say, wait a second, did it have to be this way? If it didn't have to be this way, then why is it this way? What willed it? Who willed it that it should be this way? At this time, not a different time, in this place, and not a different place. Ata b'chal lecha achat mehena, im metziutcha mechuyevet mitzad atzmecha, o efshari mitzibat mamtziacha. Do you feel that your own existence is something that has to be? Meaning he says, something has to be, so tell me, do you really think there's any cause that forces your own existence? And you know, this point seems so obvious. It seems like, isn't he just belaboring a point? But I think if we all think deeply, he's touching on a point that we never want to acknowledge. Meaning, deep down inside, man spends much of his life trying to ignore or overcome his mortality. A person will dedicate a building. Person will do all kinds of things to try to be immortal. We spend our lives either avoiding it or trying to overcome it, one or the other. But to face it is something we don't like to do. It's one of the things the Torah makes us do. On Yom Kippur, on Rosh Hashanah, we're supposed to face up to that. That's part of what Tshuva is all about. And that's part of this concept that Where are you headed? That's what Akavi ben Malalo reminded us. If we live our lives in the shadow of death, in the shadow of the fact that we are finite, there will be a time when we won't be here. We might live differently. When was the last time anyone called their parents and told them they loved them? For some reason, it's not an easy thing to do. But if we think about the fact that we aren't guaranteed another opportunity, then maybe we would do it. But we try to live our lives avoiding our own or our relatives' mortality. So the Magid Midubna is telling us a point which on the surface is obvious. Yes, everyone will tell you, yes, logically it's so. But the question is, do we really live our lives with the recognition that it's so? So he says, think about it. Which is true? Is it? Does it have to be that you will exist? Or is it just a possibility that the one who gave you life, he chose to make it so? So once you know that it doesn't have to be, you cannot force your own existence, you cannot guarantee your own existence in any way, then it's obviously the other one. Meaning then someone or something gave you life and chose that your life be this way. It's like the guy in the desert saying, you know you're not the cause of it all. You know you didn't give yourself life. You know that you can't guarantee your own existence at any moment. You can try to make it so, but you can't guarantee it. But if you think about your own existence, you don't begin to know about your own existence. I'll ask you, tell me, how many times did your heart beat in the last hour? Do you have a guess?
Yes.
How many? Okay. So we don't begin to know anything about our own existence. How many chemicals did your brain secrete in the last minute? Who knows? How many hormones? We don't know. We don't begin to understand our existence. We certainly cannot guarantee it. So whether you like it or not, our own existence comes from someone else. And he has control over you, and over all of your existence. He is the one who fashions. He's the original creator, the one who is merciful, and the one who gives freely. So that's where we'll pick up next time. What do we see today? We saw his allegory about the two people walking in the desert, and he says these are the two options we're faced with. Are we the cause of our own existence? Because if not, then there's another cause out there which saw fit to make it so, but didn't have to make it so. And if we analyze it, we can come to a true recognition that there is this other cause out there. And this other cause has control, and he chooses to give us life, and he maintains control. He is the merciful one, but he is the cause of our existence.